Hey, what's going on in Sharkland? This is Eric from the Shark School with another episode of Let's Talk Shark. Today, I want to talk about the media's vendetta against sharks. Latest surveys say that half of all shark productions, be it TV, radio, print, media, or internet, still portrays sharks in a negative light. That is 100% too much. So, what's going on? What's going on is simple. It is either people in charge of any of these documentaries that have an incorrect assumption of sharks and feel the need to let others know how they feel about these animals, or, and that is even more appalling, is that terror, violence, and misery still sells. And what other animal is more suited to accomplish all three? Yep, the sharks. So it does not come as a surprise that the more sleazy news outlets and papers keep flooding the media highway with these ugly and always, always inaccurate stories about shark bites. And this sucks. I had my share of requests from TV, radio, print media in the past 30 years, where the tone of the show was hardly pro-shark. Needless to say, I didn't accept any of them. Of course, I tried to convince them, once in a while, at least, that their way of seeing things with sharks was not correct. But hardly ever, really hardly ever, did a journalist or a producer say, "Thanks, I did not know that." Go figure, right? Even to this date, I do not consider a show where I could assume in the slightest that whatever I say or should or say or show could be twisted anyway. And you'd be surprised how pros can use your word and twist them. It's unbelievable. So whenever I get a request and I know the show or whatever, I look it up. And I get a feeling for the show, the tone and everything. And most of the time, well, it is rather clear if I can say yes or no to the show. But let's just focus on the print media, shall we? It is sad and bad that journalism often does not mean anymore to present facts, but more often than not to express the journalist's opinion on the subject. How many times did I get a call and the person told me he or she wants to write about shark bites, aka shark attacks? By now, most of you guys know what I think about shark attacks. Well, there's no such thing as a shark attack. If you look up in Webster, it says, consciously attempt to harm or kill. No shark ever wants to harm or kill us. In my entire case, never came across a bite where I truly had to assume that the shark was indeed after the person. It just doesn't happen. So anyway, we shouldn't even use this word attack. But anyway, let's get back to these type of journalists. Whenever they call, they ask me questions, of course. And the question is always like, it is known that sharks are dangerous, etc., etc. So the first thing I always tell them, that the question already implies their attitude toward sharks, that one should not put such an assumption into the question to begin with. That is just bad journalism. Well, I don't tell them that. So I ask them, why not ask instead, how dangerous are sharks? Or even better, are sharks dangerous? Well, most listeners know the answer to that, right? Sharks are the least involved predators on this planet involved in any inhuman incidents. We have about 100 incidents per year with about 5 to 7 fatalities. But even these fatalities are not caused because a shark bit the person in two or any such nonsense. It just may have happened that an artery got severed and the blood loss could not be stopped in time. And unfortunately, this can really happen very quickly. Considering that sharks are, again, the most abundant predator over 50 kilograms or 100 pounds on this planet, and most of them live close to shore daily, millions of people swim, surf, dive, or whatever do in the water, these 100 incidents equal a 5-time lower chance than winning the lottery. Does that sum it up nicely when talking about sharks, their harmlessness? I say so. And it is these facts that make me wonder where a journalist who asks the typical questions got his or her degree from. Where they got their information from is sadly an easy answer. From all the wrongful websites out there, or then from interviews with all the pretenders and pseudo-experts, something we talked about last week, remember? Well, it is a fact that many of these so-called journalists out there never saw a school of journalism from the inside, but just decided one day that they have a knack for writing, although they may wrongfully thought so, or are just passionate about something and voila, another journalist is born. Don't get me wrong. I know quite a few journalists that never learned the profession to begin with, but they understand the importance of impartial dealing with a subject. But when it comes to sharks, there are more than just a few lemons out there. Of course, this raises the question, why is that? On one side is pure laziness. They just don't want to put in the time researching the topic, but go with their initial option. Considering what they get for an article, yeah, one could even sympathize. Not if they skip the essential research because they would have to put in more time for the same flat fee they get, then I have an answer to them. Get out of the business. This attitude of not doing the necessary research is dangerous. Just imagine this situation. There is an incident with a shark somewhere, and a journalist feels that as long as the shark is not caught, nobody should swim there. So instead of being a good journalist and talk about the chances the shark moved on, or even it stays around but won't likely be involved in another incident, based on interviews the journalist did, his or her attitude against the shark is put to paper and read by all the people in the area that are looking for answers. The general public cannot educate themselves over any little topic or big topic we have on the internet. It's just not possible. So once in a while, yes, you read another article and make your assumption based on the article. So what the journalist does is just reflecting his or her very biased opinion, lacking any foundation for what has been put to paper. And then there are the exaggerations. I've been asked to analyze a lot of incidents, and quite often, before I had a chance to look at the wound, I could already read it in the paper. And more often than not, the species as well as its length has been mentioned. Most of the time, the species has not been identified as such, but folks just go with probability. It may have been that the last 10 times a black tim shark has been involved in the same area. Thus, chances are it was another one. Granted, it could be true, and most likely is, but is that justification enough? Why this already appears in the news without further verification? No, absolutely not. Here's something you may not know. Of the about 100 incidents we have each year, analyzed by maybe 20%. So 80%, we can't be sure what type of shark, what species actually bit the person. But if you go on the internet and look it up, in sharks who bite the most, well, there is always the white shark, the bull shark, the tiger shark. But since we only analyze 20%, 80% we do not, well, that may look a little different. Anyway, that's really maybe topic for another show. So let's go back to this case where, you know, I've seen it on the news already, what species and what length. Of course, once in a while, it actually could be, that could actually be a witness who saw the shark and could name it correctly. But here as well, some of these sharks, especially the ones of the Carcharhinus genus, look very, very similar. Spinner sharks, black tip sharks, silky sharks, they really look very similar if you only have a fraction of a second to actually see this animal. Anyway, I remember a case I had to work on. Since I had to get the wound pictures from the victim itself, I called him up and we talked about the incident. It is interesting, the more time passes between the event and an interview, the more detail the victim can describe the incident. Not because the victim starts to remember more and more, on very few occasions that actually is the case, but most often because he or she starts to read up on shark bites. And whatever is read seems likewise true for their own incident. So when I spoke to this particular victim, he gave me the species as well as the size of the animal. It was a bull shark of 2.5 meter length, roughly around 8 feet. Well, once I got the pictures and could do my analysis, neither size nor species was correct. Of course, I did not want to burst the victim's bubble because his mind was wound very tightly around the species as well as its size. But each time he gives an interview or gave an interview, he blamed it on the wrong species. It is, in this particular case, the shark was not 8 feet or 2.5 meter long and was not a bull shark, but it was 4 feet long or about 1.2 meter and it was a black tip. Small problem in the bigger scheme of things, but again, each time such a person is interviewed without having verified the size and species, it will hurt the already fragile reputation of that species. So what does this have to do with journalists? Simple. They just quote the victim without highlighting that such an opinion should not be taken for face value. But sometimes, and that is good, they contact experts and quote them. So at least there is a more profound opinion included. I'm just glad that shark bites remain rather rare. But at the same time, I keep hoping that a journalist takes his or her responsibility more serious and takes the appropriate steps, as well as putting everything to paper in a balanced and well-researched manner. That's it for today. Tune in again for another show of Let's Talk Shark. Have a great day. And if you meet a shark out there, have fun, enjoy the moment, and remember, it is a privilege.